DCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on the VCY America Network. And friends, this is a program that's going to be packed full of information today. Information you need to know is to be understanding of the times in which we live. COVID is making its impact around the world. I mean, there is a battle that's being waged for forced vaccinations, vaccination verifications, vaccination passports. You heard the interview that we've conducted with Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, who has provided a warning regarding this matter. Though many medical doctors have attested to the effectiveness of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, these inexpensive drugs have come under great attack from political leaders, from government agencies, from the media, and even from the controllers of social media. Our guest today indicates that there is an agenda that involves the creation of a global system of government and the introduction of a worldwide cashless economy utilizing digital currency with the goal of gaining control over every move of every individual on the planet. Joining us today, we welcome back Gary Ka. Gary is the founder and director of Hope for the World. He is editor of Hope for the World Update. He's a former government trade specialist and an author. He's the former Europe and Middle East trade specialist for the Indiana State Government. Gary, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Jim. It's good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so good to have you back. And Gary, there is a lot happening in a short period of time. And I'm sorry, I don't know who said it, but they said I need some more conspiracy theories because all my old ones have come into reality. and that's what people look at. Some of the things we're going to talk about today say, no, that's just conspiracy theory. But you just finished writing your fall edition of the Hope for the World Update. It's entitled The COVID Agenda and Mark of the Beast Technology. Let's first of all talk about the agenda before we get to the technology aspect. Who are the masterminds of this agenda?
Well, you've got major figures involved in the World Economic Forum, which includes many of your most wealthy and powerful people in the world, people such as Bill Gates, for example. You've got the Vatican that has been complicit in this. Very much so, this current pope especially. And people in this country, some of the leading figures and organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, groups that have been favoring the idea of world government for many, many years. And I believe they see this COVID situation as a platform, as a perfect opportunity to bring the world's economy to a halt so that they can introduce their new global system. Everything is in place. They're just waiting for the right moment to be able to thrust this upon the people of the world. And so we're being conditioned for this. And people don't have to believe me right now. They will soon enough. It's coming. But as you know, Jim, and I've been on this program many times, I've shared with people about my own background in government. And at one time, I was in an organization for 7 years, 3 of those years, the last 3 years, I had secret clearance. I saw things and learned things at that time that, frankly, I thought these people, they either have to be crazy or they're truly powerful people to bring about what they said they wanted to bring about. And I remember after one meeting coming home and telling my wife just that, I said, if they pull this off, what they had planned at that time, then I know they're for real. And 5 to 6 months later, what they talked about in that meeting happened, and it was a major global event. And that's just one example. Mm. So this is a very real agenda.
Okay, so we got the World Economic Forum, the Vatican. I understand the World Health Organization, the UN, are also part of this agenda-making part?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Very much so. Ghebreyesus with the World Health Organization, he's actually a model socialist, originally from Ethiopia. He's helping to drive this agenda. And from a medical standpoint, a lot of this is coming through the World Health Organization from the top down. And of course, various agencies of the UN are supporting it. And for people who haven't figured it out yet, the UN represents a form of world government, a limited form of world government, and they would like to have a lot more power and authority. And so whether it's going to be an empowered United Nations or a brand new global organization that ultimately forms this world government apparatus remains to be seen, but it's all pushing in that direction.
So, Gary, how does this shot that they're calling a vaccination, how does this COVID shot that they refer to here relate to the agenda, this whole agenda that you're disclosing here today?
Well, the pandemic and the vaccine are the pathway to a mandatory digital ID that these people are striving for. And that mandatory digital ID they're planning will also contain one's vaccination record, essentially what they're calling the health passport, along with other personal information, and it will ultimately be required to buy or sell or move about freely. So this whole pandemic, they see this as the pathway not only to a whole new global economic system and government system, but at the individual level, a way to control us and to get these mandatory IDs actually into our bodies ultimately. In fact, they're experimenting with all of this in Africa right now, and I document that in my article. It's amazing what's going on behind the scenes. In fact, we found out about this a little bit over a year ago, actually. And we got an article out of Africa that talked about developments underway over there. And they're trying to combine the digital identity with the passport and also a payment system with one injection into people. And I believe personally that will be combined at some point also with a vaccination booster, if you will, where you get one injection and it's all encompassing. That's just my personal opinion at this point.
Okay, we're going to get more into that, Gary, but I wonder why the war on ivermectin, why the war on hydroxychloroquine? I mean, is getting well not the plan? And I ask that because you indicated in your newsletter that this whole thing is not about the science, that there's a plan involved, but isn't getting well part of that plan?
Well, you would think so, wouldn't you? But I don't believe that is, because whenever we see ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine being presented as a possible alternative, a way to heal people and get people through this, the powers that be from the UN all the way down, Fauci, Biden, no, it's got to be the vaccine. You know, think about it. If everybody got treated effectively through these therapeutic medicines, then there would be no reason for a vaccine. And so it would destroy their narrative. And in their minds, they have to have this vaccine in order to have closures, in order to have to bring the global economy as much as possible to a global standstill so that they can introduce their new system. Because if things are humming along economically and doing very well, it's difficult to introduce a whole new economic system. And so, again, I believe this is a means to an end. And if their model to bring this about is destroyed because people are taking these therapeutics and there's no need for the vaccine or this narrative, then everything kind of blows up in their face.
Gary Kahn is with us here today from Hope for the World. And, Gary, you indicate this COVID shot is intended to work in tandem with the digital ID technology. You call it Mark of the Beast technology. And I know you've covered this previous, but I'd like you to just kind of re-explain that to us, because you also then, you know, update things with the story that you saw in Western Journal regarding this technology that came out in April 2021, in which they unveiled this COVID biochip that implants under the skin. So give us that understanding here again, how the COVID shot is working in tandem with the digital ID technology and what you discovered there from that Western Journal article.
Yeah, there's so much here. And again, people can read all this. We just posted it online at GaryKahn.org because there's a lot of technical details here. But I'll just go through some of it very quickly. There are a number of different methods of delivery on this, Jim, that are being worked on. One of them is the quantum dot method. I believe this will probably end up being the most popular way of planning all of this on people. So they're moving from digital ID in your smartphones to actually getting it on the people themselves. So this is where the technology is at its cutting edge. And so remember that, quantum dot technology. This is being funded in part by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Again, they have their hands in this, as so many other aspects of this whole phenomena. A research friend of mine from Florida sent me the following description of the quantum dot tattoo. He says, the quantum dot tattoo research for which Bill Gates provided funding is scannable via the artificial enzyme luciferase, which is part of a bioluminescent mark. This tattoo vaccination chip is to contain not only your medical COVID vaccine history, but proposed digitized government currencies. And again, they're trying to combine everything, the economic side of this with the health side, into one injection that they can put into people. And this is what they've been experimenting on in Africa. In this quantum dot technology, it's quite simple. You don't need a doctor to put this injection into people. It's kind of like a fancy Band-Aid that is just pushed onto the person, and these tiny little spikes go into the skin. It's quite painless, and they dissolve eventually, but they inject into you the vaccine, and also can inject into you the digital information that globalists would like for you to have to function in the new coming global economic system. And then within the military, this article in Western Journal is titled, Pentagon Scientist Unveils New COVID Biochip Implanted Under the Skin. And this is being advanced through DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. 60 Minutes already did a segment on this where they interviewed retired Army Colonel Matt Hepburn, who's been working with DARPA for years, and he talked about the project, and it's quite amazing. It's really a type of sensor, and through that sensor it can tell if people are getting ill with COVID, if they need to have a further injection, on and on and on. It's a type of a monitoring device that allows them to track you wherever you go. And that's just one of many. But I want to park here for a minute back on the experimentation that I found out 14 months ago was going to be taking place in Africa. So this was before they even had vaccines, and they were planning ahead. I just want to share a few quotes with you. And again, this has to do with testing for biometric ID, vaccine records, and payment systems all in one. It says, testing will soon begin in poverty-stricken parts of Africa for biometric ID, which will also be your payment system and vaccine record. The biometric digital identity platform that evolves just as you evolve, that's in quotes, is backed by none other than the Bill Gates-backed Gavi Vaccine Alliance, as well as MasterCard and the AI-powered identity authentication company called Trust Stamp.
Okay, Gary, let me just stop you right there. We're at a good stopping point because we're up against a break. We're going to come back to this. Gary's going to continue giving the documentation here. Again, this is a combination, a testing, a biometric ID, a vaccine record, and a payment system. Don't go away, friends. We'll come right back. Gary's going to circle back and give us some of this foundational information right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, today's a heavy topic. Is there a scientific explanation for suicide bombers?
Chris, our world today is on edge because of suicidal terrorists. Since evolution claims to be a theory of everything, there must be an evolutionary explanation for even this self-destructive behavior. And sure enough, some evolutionists are now saying that suicidal tendencies are a variation of an evolutionary adaptation that was previously useful in some evolutionary sense. Creationists just stand back and wonder how they can be so misguided, so deceived. The Bible says that man was created initially in a very good state, in the image of God. Yet when Adam rebelled against God's order, creation was permanently distorted, and now we live in a world dominated by sin's ruinous effects. Crystal, you see, what began back in Genesis continues today, even with suicidal bombers.
Thanks, Dr. Morris.
This
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Gary Ka, the founder and director of Hope for the World. He is a former government trade specialist. He's an author. He's a researcher and has spoken around the country, around the world on many, many issues here. We're talking about this COVID agenda, the Mark of the Beast technology. It's a new newsletter that he has just finished. You'll find it on his website at GaryKa.org. Now, Ka is spelled K-A-H. GaryKa.org. You can download the article, read the article online, and see for yourself, follow the documentation that he has on this as well. Now, Gary, you were talking about this testing going on, this experimentation in Africa, about this combination biometric ID, a vaccination record, and a payment system. So pick up where we left off, if you would.
That's right. Three main organizations working together on this. Again, it's the Bill Gates-backed Gavi Vaccine Alliance. Gavi, by the way, G-A-V-I, stands for the Global Alliance of Vaccines and Immunizations, heavily funded by Gates. Also MasterCard and the artificial intelligence-powered identity authentication company known as Trust Stamp. MasterCard's Gavi partnership is directly linked to its World Beyond Cash program or effort. The program, and I'm quoting here now from the Activist Post, says the program, which was first launched in late 2018, will see Trust Stamp's digital identity platform integrated into the Gavi MasterCard Wellness Pass, which is a digital vaccination record and identity system that is also linked to MasterCard's click-to-play system that is powered by its AI and machine learning technology called New Data. MasterCard, in addition to professing its commitment to promoting centralized record keeping of childhood immunization, also describes itself as a leader toward a world beyond cash, and its partnership with Gavi marks a novel approach towards linking a biometric digital identity system, vaccination records, and a payment system into a single cohesive platform. And that's the key, a single cohesive platform. Just to wrap it up here, the wellness program involving Gavi, MasterCard, and Trust Stamp will soon be launched in West Africa and will be coupled with a COVID-19 vaccination program once a vaccine becomes available. End quote. Now, again, this was 14 months ago. Then shortly after this information came out, everything went dark. I think these powers, they want to keep things quiet behind the scenes, do whatever experimenting they want to do, and then when they're ready, thrust it upon us. But I believe by the end of last year, early this year, this was in full swing and is being pushed forward in Africa. It seems as if the poor in Africa and the U.S. military are their biggest guinea pigs. I mean, over and over we see that, and no exception this time. So it's just a matter of time till all this comes out. But now you know.
Gary, while this is going on, I mean, we're being pushed toward a cash-free economy. I mean, there are still some stores that have gone into that's talking about coin shortages taking place.
That's right. And somehow they have to make that switch. And, of course, the World Health Organization is promoting the idea of contactless point of sales, where you don't have to do anything except wave your smartphone over a scanner. Of course, you can already do that at many fast food restaurants. And now you've got some of the stores on the West Coast setting up payment systems where you can use your hand and sweep it over a scanner at the grocery store, and it will deduct your account, your bank account. I think Whole Foods is one that's introducing that. So, you know, a lot of this is coming together very quickly, and it's being pushed by globalists, powerful globalists within the private sector, some of them that also are over our social media giants. So it's coming from that direction. It's coming from the government top down. It's coming from the UN. And then it's coming from a lot of grassroots socialist lobbyists who are quite gullible, not realizing how this will affect all of them negatively, but they're being useful stooges, so to speak, for the globalists in accomplishing their agenda for them. It is quite disturbing. You know, I mean, all of us, we want to believe that we will be able to continue to live in a country with some freedoms, but they are rapidly being taken away from us. And if Christians don't take a stand right now, I think within a year or two, most of our remaining freedoms could be gone.
Yeah, Gary Kaa is our guest here today on Crosstalk, and I thank Rob Pugh from Wisconsin Christian News, who had shared some information with me that took me to the Facebook page of the Missouri Bank. And Gary, I'd like you to comment on this, because what we are seeing is a government that wants more and more knowledge, more and more control over our financial transactions. Now, this is from a posting September 10th, 2021 at the Missouri Bank. Folks, go to the Missouri Bank's Facebook page. You'll find it there. It was 11:30 in the morning when they posted this. I'm going to read it. It says, "While the Missouri Bank does not normally engage on topics relating to politics, we feel there's an urgent matter pending in Congress that needs your attention. Because we care about you, your finances, and your accounts with TMB, we want you to know the facts, especially when it relates to concerning developments around public policy that expose your financial privacy. The Biden administration has proposed requiring all community banks and other financial institutions to report to the IRS on all deposits and withdrawals through business and personal accounts, regardless of tax liability. This indiscriminate comprehensive bank account reporting to the IRS can soon be enacted in Congress and will create an unacceptable invasion of privacy for our customers. So how does this affect you? If passed, the proposal would require financial institutions like ours to report the inflows, that's deposits, and outflows, that's withdrawals, of $600 or more on personal and business accounts to the IRS, regardless of customers' consent. We work for our customers and our community, not the IRS. We encourage you to join us immediately in telling Congress that proposed IRS bank account profiling is indiscriminate and intrusive for our customers. They give the hashtag #KeepMyBankPrivate, and then they have links that take you right to the U.S. Department of the Treasury, the U.S. Department of Treasury, the American Families Plan Tax Compliance Agenda from May of 2021. Gary, they're actually proposing to track every transaction that every one of our listeners make in their checkbooks or their credit cards or whatever of $600 or more?
Yeah, any major purchase or deposit, they want to know about it.
I mean,
they want to know every move that we're making. This would be a major loss of privacy, and small banks are able to lobby effectively against this, along with private citizens.
I mean, we're talking, the mortgage payments are more than that. Some people's auto loans are greater than that, and this is on every time process, information processing that banks are going to have to turn over to the IRS?
Yeah, this is a great example of creeping authoritarianism. We've seen it coming in various ways with the lockdowns and the government telling us what we can't and can't do, where we can go and can't go. And now they want to know everything about our bank accounts and transactions that we're making. So no real surprise on this, but I respect the Missouri Bank and other banks that are taking a stand that are warning their customers about this, saying, look, if you don't want this to happen, you need to call your congressman and tell them to oppose this, because it's just giving the Biden administration more and more power. And we all know that Biden himself isn't running things. He's too out of it to know what he's doing, but he's got some powerful people around him who have a strong agenda. They're determined to get this through. And this is just one more step to prepare us and condition us for this coming global economic system and world government.
And COVID is the mechanism by which is being used to take us through this process.
That's right. That's right. The response to COVID, it's never been about saving lives. If it was, the authorities would allow and encourage, you know, physicians to prescribe the existing therapeutics. But they're not doing that. That's not their goal. It's all about building their wealth and control while getting them the mRNA vaccines into us.
Folks, again, I'd encourage you to go to Gary's website and read the report here. And Gary, one of the things that I gleaned from your report is when you put together just the developments that have happened since COVID, I found it to be rather astonishing, all the changes and issues that have happened since COVID. I mean, you're talking what's going on at our borders right now, and it's really insane what's happening there. You also talk about what's happening to our energy independence that we once had just under the last president, gone, our economy being disrupted, where this massive trillion-dollar budget that is funding socialist programs, our supply chains are being interrupted. We just had the head of Roundy's Corporation make an announcement or put forth a release or something warning about the escalating grocery prices we're going to continue to experience. We see what's happening with gasoline prices. We see what's going on with the election-related issues. At the same time, when people speak out on this, they're being deplatformed, and then we put in the we're getting people divided once against one another, critical race theory, and then we see everything that we're doing is benefiting our enemies. I mean, communist China, Russia, and Gary, you pull this all together here, and it's astounding.
It is, and in fact, after listing some of those things, I wrote, if we as Christians cannot see that this is an intentionally manipulated power grab, then frankly, we deserve to be deceived.
Mm.
Please understand the COVID narrative is the main instrument for socialists to take control. That's what we have to understand. And a lot of Christians, Jim, unfortunately, they're just not seeing that. They have fallen hook, line, and sinker for this COVID narrative, and it's almost become like a religion. I mean, there's a religious fervor surrounding this, going out and getting the vaccine. You know, our daughter is a nurse, and son-in-law is a respiratory therapist, and so they keep us pretty well informed of what's going on. And they know of doctors who got the vaccine, who one of them said this is the second most important moment in his life after getting married, and he was in tears as he was expressing this. That's how important getting this vaccine was to him. And yet we're seeing that people who get COVID and recover from it, according to some studies, their immune system fights off future strains of COVID 7 to 10 times more effectively than if they get the vaccine. And that's something the authorities don't want you to know. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you wouldn't get the vaccine. You know, you just go out and get whatever treatments are available at the time. And some doctors, there's one doctor in Texas that has treated several thousand COVID patients and hasn't lost a single one of them by giving them the therapeutics that are available. But that's the kind of information that the Biden administration and Fauci don't want out there. There really, truly is not a reason to get these vaccines. Now, it is personal choice. People can do what they want to. But generally speaking, historically, it's taken around 7 or 8 years or so to fully understand the impact that vaccines will have long term. And here we're looking at vaccines that have only been out for a matter of months. I mean, these are still experimental substances. And even that said, there are plenty of negative side effects that have already occurred, many of them in the first 3 months of people taking them. A next-door neighbor of our daughter, within a few days after taking the COVID vaccine, died very suddenly. And his wife says, I should have stopped him from getting the vaccine, but I didn't. And those things are being underreported. They're simply underreported. Yeah. I think at least 3 or 4 times as many people are dealing with side effects and even death from the vaccines than what we're being told.
We got to take a quick break here. Gary Kah is our guest today from Hope for the World. This is Crosstalk. We'll be right back.
King Lemuel wrote, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." The passage from Proverbs 31, words written by this king as taught to him by his mother. King Lemuel's mother understood many of the struggles and temptations that men face. She also knew that there were virtuous women and those that lacked these important qualities. In the book, The Words of King Lemuel, author James Daughtry unlocks the secrets of this ancient proverb. He transports you back to the times and setting of the passage to uncover the important truths concerning the virtuous woman. The Words of King Lemuel, great for personal or group Bible study. One copy of the book is available for a donation of $11. 5 copies for a donation of $40 or 10 copies for $69 when you call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Gary Ka is our guest here today on the broadcast, COVID Agenda and Mark of the Beast Technology. That's actually the title of an article that he has just written and is posted on his website, GaryKah.org, GaryKah.org, and you'll find that there. You can also certainly take our link. Will be posted here within a few hours of this program on our website. You can take this link, share the link with others to have them listen to today's program. If you do need a hard copy CD, we do make them available for donation of $6 to cover our duplication and postage expenses. You may contact our switchboard at 800-729-9829. Gary, let's talk about the church for a bit in all of this. How are you seeing the church respond in times like these?
Well, you know, it varies greatly from one church body to another. Our particular church, I think we missed three or four, and then opened things back up, and it's worked out fairly well. A number of people we know, they have on hand the therapeutics, hydroxychloroquine with zinc and the antibiotics or ivermectin, so they're ready for it. Others are caught off guard, and there's really no need to be caught off guard at this point. But in general, the mainline churches have been much more restrictive. Some of them have been closed, I mean, for over a year now, and done everything online, and that's just, in my opinion, it's ridiculous. But we just got this article in this morning. It's very timely. Just a few examples of what's going on out there. This first example is from Calgary, Canada. A church up there reopened for live services for the first time in over a year on September 12th, this last Sunday. However, only double vaccinated people were allowed to attend. So by double vaccinated, I'm assuming they're talking about the Pfizer, you know, double jab mm-hmm. there. Only double vaccinated people were allowed to attend. In Atlanta, the Greater Piney Grove Baptist Church just opened their doors for the first time in over a year. And along with vaccination proof, church members must have their temperature checked, sign a waiver, and wear a mask. And if you are 12 or under, which means you haven't been vaccinated yet because you couldn't have been vaccinated, you're not even allowed in the church building. The youth services are streamed online only.
Wow.
I mean, this is way extreme. And then from Switzerland, they are not allowing individual churches to decide. They've gone a step further by lumping them all together into or under a national mandate. Any church service that has more than 50 people will be required to enforce COVID passport restrictions. The restrictions mean that any local churches are now asked to control the access of attendance and make sure attendants have the official document that proves they have been vaccinated against the virus, have recovered from an infection, or have tested negative. So some of the evangelical Swiss churches are pushing back on this, but both the mainline Protestant Reformed Church and the Roman Catholic Church in Switzerland have supported the new restrictions in religious activities. So they're standing with the government over there. So again, we're seeing this trend. Generally speaking, the mainline churches are going along with it, which they also, as you and I both know, theologically they tend to be more liberal, mm-hmm. while many of the evangelical churches are pushing back. And so I see this as handwriting on the wall. This is kind of the beginning of persecution against Christians, because the people here in the U.S., as well as overseas, generally who have stood most opposed to these draconian measures that are being implemented, are your evangelical Christians, some of your libertarians, and a few of your anti-vaxxers. But outside of that group, most people are going along with it. There is one country where, at least for the time being, all of this has been stopped in its tracks. Do you want to guess what country it is? I'm just curious, Jim. Do you want to guess?
Go ahead and reveal it.
Romania.
Wow.
Romania. They got to the point where about 30% of the population was vaccinated, and then they hit a brick wall. They couldn't get anybody else to come in. And so they had to shut down the government-sponsored clinics, and 70% of the population refuses to get the vaccine. Most of those 70% are the older generations that remember what life was like under socialism, under communism in Romania.
Wow.
Whereas the younger people, you know, they haven't had to live under that for the last 30 years, and so they're more gullible and more willing to go along with this. But there is one country now where this, for the time being at least, has been stopped, and that's Romania, which I find very interesting.
I mean, isn't that a tactic that Hitler used to against the Jews, that these were people that were going to spread a contagion?
That's right. That is the case. In fact, as you know, my father for a time, he fled from the communists in Croatia and found safe refuge for a time in the mountains of Austria. But then he found out, you know, that area really had come under Nazi rule, and he fled from the Nazis. So he's the only person I know of who fled from the communists at age 12 and from the Nazis at age 13. Mm-hmm. I'm here today because of his boldness and the Lord's protection over him. But while in Austria, some interesting details. Hitler's approach was a little bit different in Austria than in Germany. He used whatever worked. And since Austria, generally speaking, was not an anti-Semitic country, you know, Vienna was an enclave for the Jewish community. Many of your greatest composers and artists who were Jewish lived there. And so what Hitler presented in Austria was that the Jews have this deadly disease. They need to be isolated from the general public in order to stop it in its tracks. And so people in the beginning thought, okay, this is something good for our health. It's for the good of the whole, so to speak. And so they tolerated that. But we all know where all that ended up. And the Jews got funneled to concentration camps, and many were put to death. But it all began with a health mandate. That's how this was justified. So are we beginning to see these kinds of things, you know, moving in that same direction here in this country and in other parts of the world? What's going to happen to Christians and others who don't take the vaccine? We already see what they're trying to do. They're trying to say that all new cases of COVID are because of the unvaccinated, but the statistics don't bear that out.
Right.
In Israel, for example, 95% of severe COVID hospitalizations are now coming among those who've been vaccinated. We're getting similar statistics out of Scotland, but you will not hear that in the mass media. So the fact that most of the new cases are coming from the vaccinated, especially the new strains, those are being passed largely through people who've been vaccinated. It's not the unvaccinated that is the problem. And the other thing, if you think about it, Jim, why would people even get vaccinated if the vaccinations don't protect you?
Right.
I mean, we know of a number of people who've gotten COVID after being vaccinated.
Well, we're hearing from the president and the vice president, we have to protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated, they're saying.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's ridiculous. No matter how you turn this thing, given the truth, given the statistics that are out there now, if you do a little bit of digging, none of this narrative makes sense unless we understand that there's a bigger agenda at play, and they need this COVID narrative in order to get the world to where they need it to be in order to introduce this new global system. And along the way, tag us with a number that we're going to need to be able to buy or sell or do anything else. And this is the way to get to that point.
And hence the Great Reset. And Gary, we do have a full program that we'll be doing with Alex Newman on what's going on in Australia. But let's just mention, you've got public leaders right now that are declaring it to be a new world order.
You do. Yeah, and we have a very good friend in Australia who is a world traveler. In fact, I was attending board meetings on the board of the same organization as he, and suddenly all that has come to a halt. You know, I mean, they're not able to go anywhere. I mean, they're stuck there. Unless you have a vaccine, you're pretty much locked down and can't do much of anything.
Yeah.
Australia, New Zealand, and the irony here is a sad irony. You know, I remember 10 years ago or so when Obama began pushing certain things, a lot of people were leaving this country, going to places like New Zealand, thinking that would be a safe place, never thinking that things would be more draconian there than anywhere else.
Yeah.
But the U.S. is right behind, and I believe the strategy right now is to get as much done as possible before the midterm elections. So in the next 14 months, look out for the Biden administration to push this thing to the hilt. And if Biden eventually becomes so unpopular as a result that he has to be sacrificed, they're okay with that. Because then Kamala Harris would be in, and she's a devoted socialist. So unfortunately, politically, the way things stand right now, things can only go from bad to worse in this country. And really the only hope that we as Christians have is in the Lord himself.
Amen.
And we've got to remember that. And we'll come back to that later on in the program. But it's so important that we keep perspective on all of this, you know, because it's easy to get depressed when you see where everything is going in the daily news. I mean, you watch the news for 15 minutes and you want to turn off the television because things are spiraling downhill so quickly. But it is important. Having said that, it is important for Christians to take a stand. Here in our community where we live, when our governor in Indiana tried to gain more power regarding COVID, our local sheriff in our county, who happens to be a strong Christian, stood in the gap and said, no way, I'm not going to allow this to happen. It's unconstitutional. The next day, 30 or 40 other sheriffs from around the state chimed in and backed him. And then the Indiana General Assembly also jumped in and said, no way. And you know, if we in the grassroots as Christians and conservatives don't take a stand, all this will unfold much more rapidly. So we can make a difference. And until this agenda is fully in place, it's not in place. And we can still do things to warn people and get the information out and keep our freedoms around for a time longer for the sake of our children and grandchildren.
The psalmist wrote, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And folks, keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus is so absolutely critical. And as we have quoted before from Paul's epistle to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Gary, we're just a couple minutes from the break here, and I know we've unpacking a lot of information, but any advice for people for today in such a time in which we live?
Well, I spell out a lot of different practical advice in our publication that I don't have time to go all into here, but let me just highlight a couple of them. Regarding COVID itself, I really do urge that people not get this experimental vaccine along with Dr. Zelenko and others who have come out in the same way. But if you've already taken it, don't panic, but I would not allow any additional vaccines or boosters to go into your body, limit the potential damage. Again, this is experimental. If you're okay with that, not having any clue what these vaccines will eventually do to you, then, you know, I can't stop you. But there's a bigger agenda at play here, and the people funding this, people like Bill Gates, back just a few years ago, I believe in 2015, called for a 10-15% reduction in the population of mankind in order to make us sustainable for, you know, because of climate change and the likes. Now, can we really trust someone like that who's funding these vaccines? You know, I wouldn't want to take the vaccine just for that reason.
We will try and sneak in a couple calls. Our number 800-733-9829. Gary's going to quick give us a summary, though, after the break of any other thoughts that he has at such a time. But your calls here, 800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. My friends, there is a global convergence happening. And you know what? It reveals the supernatural nature of God's Word and where we are on God's prophetic calendar. Look at all the things the Bible says are going to occur. And guess what? They're occurring right now. Number one, a one-world economy. They're working on that. Laying the foundation for the mark of the beast. 2, 3, the Middle East conflict with Israel and the Gog-Magog scenario being set up, with Syria having right in their borders Iran, Russia, China, and Turkey. 4, they're talking about dividing the world into 10 unions. 5, the rise of hatred of Christians and
and Jews, anti-Semitism. Six, a one-world religious system that's being set up, the desire for a one-world government. Seven, eight, UFOs. And the Bible speaks about mysterious things happening in the skies, and it can be used as a cover for the removal of Christians. Nine, globalism. 10, financial collapse. 11, rebuilding the temple. And 12, apostasy. The stage is set for the last days.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Gary Ka is with us today, and as we mentioned, Gary is founder and director of Hope for the World. We're going to be providing you a website address here shortly, so be ready to jot that down. Gary, just take one further moment here before we go to the calls, and what do you want to leave with our listeners here on this important issue?
Yeah, regarding COVID itself, obtain enough COVID therapeutics in advance, such as ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. I recommend America's frontline doctors. If you keep trying, you get through to them. They're being flooded right now. But get those things in advance. Don't wait until you have COVID to get it. We've had several friends who've done that, and then before you know it, by the time they get it, 8 or 10 days have passed, and it's too late. You need to have that in advance. Keep yourself physically fit as much as possible, you know, and take good vitamins like D and C and zinc. Financially, get out of debt to the best of your ability. Make yourself as independent from the system as possible. And spiritually, I'm going to hold off on that till the very end. I have some recommendations on that front as well, Jim, but I know we have some callers standing by.
Let's go to Charlie from Lodi. You're on the air, Charlie.
Thank you for taking my call. Great show. I just want your listeners to know that I'm a veteran, and I never take shots, but I'm getting older, and the nurses are getting prettier, and they kind of schmooze me.
Well, Charlie, let's stay with our topic here today, okay?
Sure. I took a shot for shingles and one for pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And next day I was paralyzed from the neck down.
Mm-hmm.
I was put in bed with a hydraulic lift. I almost died. And that's a normal vaccine.
Yeah.
Please, once they put that in your body, you can't take it out.
Okay, thank you, Charlie. Let's go to Maureen in Zanesville, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say I appreciate all the information that we're getting between you and Brandon House. It's just, and I just wanted to say, get, you know, people, if you haven't gotten your therapeutics, your ivermectin yet, get at it, because the doors are quickly closing on that. And who, you know, if you can get an appointment, it's going to get more expensive. You know, it's the doors are closing on it. We were very fortunate to be able to a telemed visit coming up with Dr. Tenpenny, but we were so fortunate to get it. But like I said, the doors are closing on it. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
thank you, Maureen. Gary, I know you agree with that. I mean, we've been seeing news stories and the likes of Jimmy Kimmel and others just mocking things like ivermectin and you've got doctors now speaking again. This is dangerous, they're saying.
Yeah.
It's been on the market for decades.
Yeah, we have a local fact checker, you know, that verifies the truth, they say, on the local evening news. And the one person who was looking into this described ivermectin as something that was given to horses to deworm them,
mm-hmm.
That people should stay away from it. Well, what an exaggeration. I mean, horses are given antibiotics, too, but that doesn't mean we as humans shouldn't take antibiotics. Yeah, if you give enough ivermectin to a horse, it can help him in that way, but that doesn't mean humans shouldn't take it in limited doses.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just so much misinformation and scare tactics. They're scaring people into taking these vaccines. That's the bottom line.
Thank you, Maureen. They're going to Alice in Arkansas. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Last October, Gary was at a rally in BCY, and he said 70% of the people say they're Christian, but I remember that he said he didn't believe it. He thought it was 5 to 10%, or else we wouldn't be in this mess. I'd like to say this is spiritual. I believe God is sending judgment. May everybody really ask God, how do I look to you? Am I living for you? Am I pleasing you? In my blindness, I have found my greatest joy is striving to please my wonderful God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We got interrupted there, Alice. Thank you. And Gary's going to have a final comment in a moment, but one more call here. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. For anybody out there who's still got doubts, consider this. You're one-sided mainstream press. And when you
Brad, you're breaking up there.
Oh, if you go against the narrative, they default to name-calling and shaming. They're not following science. They've departed from it completely, except for themselves, because I'm guaranteeing you right now, they're not taking it either.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate your call. And by the way, Gary's website is garykah.org, garykah.org. And there you'll be able to read this article on the COVID agenda and Mark of the Beast technology. Gary, we've got 2 minutes remaining, and you mentioned you wanted to address the spiritual side of this as well.
Yeah, just as a heads up, and we touched on this earlier, I believe as Christians, we need to be prepared to be persecuted for not taking this vaccine. And by this time next year, our lives could be drastically different, and we have to be prepared for that. Secondly, expect significant persecution to come from other Christians. I'm really beginning to conclude that much of the persecution against Christ followers who stand firm is going to come from professing Christians who've been lured into embracing much of this progressive socialist narrative, which includes the COVID narrative. I'm seeing it all around us here where we live as well. And so right now, many people are choosing what they want to believe, and they're going in that direction. Finally, I would say surround yourself with as many like-minded, spiritually discerning people as possible so that you can encourage each other and draw strength from each other. Reach as many individuals for Christ while we have the freedom to get the truth out, because that time, you know, the time's coming where we may no longer be able to communicate as openly as we do now. And in closing, I would say walk more closely with the Lord than you ever have before. Be a seeker of the truth while surrendering any fear that you may have to the Lord. Let him be your source of strength and stability. If you look anywhere else, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it in personal wealth or having things in your house perfectly under control. If you think you do, it comes from a personal relationship with the Lord and walking closely with him. A good passage of scripture comes from Philippians 3, verses 19 through 21. Beginning by describing how non-believers think. Go ahead.
We're going to have people read that passage.
All right.
We've run out of time. Philippians 3, 19 to 21, you said.
That's right.
Great. Gary Kah with us here today. His website, GaryKah, KAH.org. Gary, thank you so much for your research and coming and sharing your heart with our Crosstalk listeners.
Thank you, Jim. God bless you.
Again, folks, that's GaryKah, KAH.org. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Take Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.